An alle Aufsichtspersonen. Verteilen Sie jetzt die Aufgabenbogen für den Prüfungsteil Hörverstehen. Die Prüfung beginnt in 2 Minuten. An die Kandidatinnen und Kandidaten. Beschriften Sie jetzt das Deckblatt des Aufgabenbogen Hörverstehens. Achtung, lesen Sie die Aufgaben erst, wenn der englische Text beginnt. Kaufmännische Berufsmatura 2014, Kanton Zürich, Englisch, Serie 1. This part of the examination consists of 2 different listening comprehension tasks. There will be pauses before and after each task to give you time to read the questions and to check your answers. You will hear each task twice. Task 1. In the first part of the test, you will hear a librarian talking to a group of students about a newly refurbished town library. As you listen, fill in the gaps 1 to 10 in the notes below. In some gaps, more than one word is necessary for a complete answer. You now have 90 seconds in which to look at task 1. Ready?
Hello everybody, and welcome to, I think it's fair to say, our new, or certainly new look, town library. As you probably know, we have only recently reopened after several months of major refurbishment. And my aim today is to let you know what facilities and services we now have available here for our users. and then to take you on a short tour around our smart new premises. The library has almost doubled in size. Whereas before we only had the first three floors of the building, the library now occupies all five, right to the top. We've extended our opening hours in both the morning and evening, and have also completely modernised all our resources. A major new attraction is the new cafeteria on the top floor, with lovely views of the town, by the way, instead of the former vending machines we used to have. At the end of the tour, you'll have time to wander around on your own, and if you aren't already a member of the library, do take this opportunity to join. Remember that membership is free for all full-time students. At the end of our tour today, I'll be very happy to answer any further questions you may have. So, let's begin. Right now, we're at the entrance to the library with the information desk, as you can see, directly in front of you here. If you have any questions about the layout of the library, or you would like to recommend items you feel the library should acquire, or you lose your library card or want to book a computer slot, this is where you need to come. We have a new computer room with 50 computers. You can book slots lasting from 15 minutes up to a maximum of 3 hours. If you have your own computer with you, we now have Wi-Fi throughout the library, so you can use your laptop anywhere in the building. Just to the right of the information desk over there is where you need to go if you want to borrow or return books. Directly behind the information desk, just over Eileen's head there, and in front of the computer room, which we'll look at a bit later, is the main reading area. Lots of comfortable chairs, some with small folding tables attached, and as you can see in the far corners, two areas with sofas for more relaxed reading or browsing. Over to the right there is the children's book section. We organise monthly activities for children to try and get them interested in reading. In fact, if anybody has relatives, friends or neighbours with children who might be interested, there is a storytelling session this coming Saturday at 10 a.m. Do let the parents know. It's aimed at 3 to 6-year-olds, though we have a variety of activities every month aimed at different age groups. Again, you can get details of these at the information desk here. Immediately to the left of the information desk over there, you'll find the periodicals. We have a wide range of publications, including magazines and newspapers in 7 different languages: English, French, German, Spanish, Italian, Arabic, and Chinese. Then, if we make our way over here, yes, here behind the periodical section, you'll find our audio section. We have a huge selection of CDs of every conceivable genre. Pop, rock, jazz, soundtracks, classical, you name it. As well as a comprehensive range of audiobooks, of course. Now, if we go through here, between the audio section and the children's section, we come to the computer room. When you join the library, you'll be given a password to access the computers. There's both a black and white printer and a colour printer, and we also have a photocopier and a scanner that you can use. The charges for the use of these are displayed on notices on the walls above the machines, and payment is made using your library card, which you can load up with credit at the information desk. Now, to reach the upper floors, you can either take the lift, which is between the information desk and the area for taking out or returning books, or the stairs, which are just behind the CDs in the corner over there. The first floor is all fiction. We've got all the classics and contemporary fiction as well. The majority is English language fiction, but we do have a small section of foreign literature in the original languages too. So, to keep us fit, let's take the stairs up to the first floor.
Now listen again and check your answers. Ready?
Hello everybody, and welcome to, I think it's fair to say, our new, or certainly new-look, town library. As you probably know, we have only recently reopened after several months of major refurbishment. And my aim today is to let you know what facilities and services we now have available here for our users. And then to take you on a short tour around our smart new premises. The library has almost doubled in size. Whereas before we only had the first three floors of the building, the library now occupies all five, right to the top. We've extended our opening hours in both the morning and evening, and have also completely modernised all our resources. A major new attraction is the new cafeteria on the top floor, with lovely views of the town, by the way, instead of the former vending machines we used to have. At the end of the tour, you'll have time to wander around on your own, and if you aren't already a member of the library, do take this opportunity to join. Remember that membership is free for all full-time students. At the end of our tour today, I'll be very happy to answer any further questions you may have. So, let's begin. Right now, we're at the entrance to the library with the information desk, as you can see, directly in front of you here. If you have any questions about the layout of the library, or you would like to recommend items you feel the library should acquire, or you lose your library card or want to book a computer slot, this is where you need to come. We have a new computer room with 50 computers. You can book slots lasting from 15 minutes up to a maximum of 3 hours. If you have your own computer with you, we now have Wi-Fi throughout the library, so you can use your laptop anywhere in the building. Just to the right of the information desk over there is where you need to go if you want to borrow or return books. Directly behind the information desk, just over Eileen's head there, and in front of the computer room, which we'll look at a bit later, is the main reading area. Lots of comfortable chairs, some with small folding tables attached, and as you can see in the far corners, two areas with sofas for more relaxed reading or browsing. Over to the right there is the children's book section. We organise monthly activities for children to try and get them interested in reading. In fact, if anybody has relatives, friends or neighbours with children who might be interested, there is a storytelling session this coming Saturday at 10 a.m. Do let the parents know. It's aimed at 3 to 6-year-olds, though we have a variety of activities every month aimed at different age groups. Again, you can get details of these at the information desk here. Immediately to the left of the information desk over there, you'll find the periodicals. We have a wide range of publications, including magazines and newspapers in 7 different languages: English, French, German, Spanish, Italian, Arabic, and Chinese. Then, if we make our way over here, yes, here behind the periodical section, you'll find our audio section. We have a huge selection of CDs of every conceivable genre. Pop, rock, jazz, soundtracks, classical, you name it. As well as a comprehensive range of audiobooks, of course. Now, if we go through here, between the audio section and the children's section, we come to the computer room. When you join the library, you'll be given a password to access the computers. There's both a black and white printer and a colour printer, and we also have a photocopier and a scanner that you can use. The charges for the use of these are displayed on notices on the walls above the machines, and payment is made using your library card, which you can load up with credit at the information desk. Now, to reach the upper floors, you can either take the lift, which is between the information desk and the area for taking out or returning books, or the stairs, which are just behind the CDs in the corner over there. The first floor is all fiction. We've got all the classics and contemporary fiction as well. The majority is English language fiction, but we do have a small section of foreign literature in the original languages too. So, to keep us fit, let's take the stairs up to the first floor.
This is the end of task one. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers. Now turn to task two. Task two. In the second part of the test, you will hear an interview with a woman who talks about the Grameen Bank in Bangladesh. For questions 1 to 10, mark the best answer A, B or C. You now have 90 seconds in which to look at task two. Ready?
Linda Baxter's with us again now in the studio for the next in our current series, Modern Business Legends. Linda, I gather you're going to tell us today about the Nobel Peace Prize winner, Muhammad Yunus.
Exactly right, Paul. Muhammad Yunus, the founder of the Grameen Bank and Microcredit.
Well, Linda, how exactly was it that Muhammad Yunus became a modern legend in the business world?
It all began 25 years ago. Muhammad Yunus, at that time an economics teacher in his native Bangladesh, was visiting a rural village near his hometown when he met women who made bamboo furniture. They couldn't afford to buy the bamboo to make their furniture, so they had to borrow the money from the bamboo sellers, but on the condition that they pay them a large part of the profits from the furniture the women sold. Now, after they'd sold their furniture, the money which the women themselves got to keep was so little that they couldn't even afford to buy more bamboo, so they had to borrow even more money. And so the cycle continued with no way out for them. They couldn't borrow money from friends or family because they were just as poor as the women were. They also couldn't borrow from the local bank because they had no collateral, that means property or land, as a guarantee that they would and could pay back a bank loan.
What did Yunus make of all this?
Well, it made him curious about the workings of the local economy. He decided to stay in the village and to talk to more of the villagers. He discovered over 40 other villagers in the same situation. Local people with useful skills who were trying to develop a small business or at least just make a living, but who were trapped in a cycle of debt and poverty with no escape. What shocked him most of all, though, was that when he added up the amount of money that the villagers would need to break free of this cycle, it came to just $27. As Yunus says in his books, I felt ashamed of myself for being part of a society which would not provide just $27 to 42 hard-working, skilled human beings.
He then took his revolutionary step, didn't he?
That's right. He lent the villagers the money at a realistic rate of interest and told them to pay back the loan whenever they could. He got back every rupee he lent, so he went to other villages and did the same thing. He always got his money back. The official banks didn't want to get involved in what he was doing, so Yunus started his own bank. The Grameen Bank, Grameen means village in Bengali, was born, and with it a new approach to lending money, microcredit.
Now, Linda, what made Yunus's Grameen Bank so different?
The conventional banking system is based on the principle that the more you have, the more you can borrow. The Grameen Bank, by contrast, gives priority to those who have nothing, and particularly the poorest women. Also, the loans are small, hence microcredit, and repayments are made in small amounts spread over a year. Built into the loan is an insurance scheme so that the family of the borrower doesn't become responsible for repaying the loan if the borrower dies. Also, there is no legal contract between the bank and the borrower, and therefore no risk of legal action if the repayments are not made. The relationship between the Grameen Bank and its borrowers is based on trust and good faith.
The Grameen Bank and its system of microcredit to the poor has been phenomenally successful. What are the reasons for this, Linda?
Loan repayment rates are very high for two main reasons. Firstly, borrowers know that they will not be able to borrow again if they don't repay the first loan. Secondly, they have to join a group of other borrowers in the same area who all share some responsibility for the loans of all the other members of their group. The members of a group are encouraged to make group decisions. So there is a lot of peer pressure and support from the group to encourage members to pay back their loans.
The Grameen Bank is regarded as very active socially. Is that true?
Indeed. Another important difference to conventional banks is that the Grameen Bank has a social programme. The system encourages the borrowers to do practical things to improve their living conditions, health and level of education. These are known as the 16 decisions, which include, for example, not continuing the dowry system, growing fresh vegetables, organising clean drinking water and good sanitation, education for children, and being ready to help each other whenever necessary. Most conventional banks would not normally consider these things to be any of their business, or certainly not central to their business.
Yunus's idea has caught on, hasn't it?
It certainly has. In Bangladesh itself, the Grameen Bank now lends over $1 billion to more than 2 million borrowers, 96% of them women, and involving more than half of the villages in Bangladesh. The repayment rate is 99%. The rural economy of the country has improved greatly since the bank started. But Yunus's idea has spread beyond Bangladesh's borders. This year it was estimated that there are now over 7,000 microcredit organisations in the world, lending to over 16 million of the poorest people.
And Western banks and even governments have been impressed.
Yes. Grameen's success in Bangladesh has also shown that the developing world has lessons to teach richer countries like the USA and Britain. Both countries have begun to encourage microcredit schemes based on the Grameen model in an attempt to deal with poverty in their countries.
Linda, thank you. I don't think anyone would argue with your choice of Yunus as a modern business legend. And we look forward to who you have for us next week.
Now listen again and check your answers. Ready?
Linda Baxter's with us again now in the studio for the next in our current series, Modern Business Legends. Linda, I gather you're going to tell us today about the Nobel Peace Prize winner, Muhammad Yunus.
Exactly right, Paul. Muhammad Yunus, the founder of the Grameen Bank and microcredit.
Well, Linda, how exactly was it that Muhammad Yunus became a modern legend in the business world?
It all began 25 years ago. Muhammad Yunus, at that time an economics teacher in his native Bangladesh, was visiting a rural village near his hometown when he met women who made bamboo furniture. They couldn't afford to buy the bamboo to make their furniture, so they had to borrow the money from the bamboo sellers, but on the condition that they pay them a large part of the profits from the furniture the women sold. Now, after they'd sold their furniture, the money which the women themselves got to keep was so little that they couldn't even afford to buy more bamboo, so they had to borrow even more money. And so the cycle continued with no way out for them. They couldn't borrow money from friends or family because they were just as poor as the women were. They also couldn't borrow from the local bank because they had no collateral, that means property or land, as a guarantee that they would and could pay back a bank loan.
What did Yunus make of all this?
Well, it made him curious about the workings of the local economy. He decided to stay in the village and to talk to more of the villagers. He discovered over 40 other villagers in the same situation. Local people with useful skills who were trying to develop a small business or at least just make a living, but who were trapped in a cycle of debt and poverty with no escape. What shocked him most of all, though, was that when he added up the amount of money that the villagers would need to break free of this cycle, it came to just $27. As Yunus says in his books, "I felt ashamed of myself for being part of a society which would not provide just $27 to 42 hard-working, skilled human beings."
He then took his revolutionary step, didn't he?
That's right. He lent the villagers the money at a realistic rate of interest and told them to pay back the loan whenever they could. He got back every rupee he lent, so he went to other villages and did the same thing. He always got his money back. The official banks didn't want to get involved in what he was doing, so Yunus started his own bank. The Grameen Bank, Grameen means village in Bengali, was born, and with it a new approach to lending money, microcredit.
Now, Linda, what made Yunus's Grameen Bank so different?
The conventional banking system is based on the principle that the more you have, the more you can borrow. The Grameen Bank, by contrast, gives priority to those who have nothing, and particularly the poorest women. Also, the loans are small, hence microcredit, and repayments are made in small amounts spread over a year. Built into the loan is an insurance scheme so that the family of the borrower doesn't become responsible for repaying the loan if the borrower dies. Also, there is no legal contract between the bank and the borrower, and therefore no risk of legal action if the repayments are not made. The relationship between the Grameen Bank and its borrowers is based on trust and good faith.
The Grameen Bank and its system of microcredit to the poor has been phenomenally successful. What are the reasons for this, Linda?
Loan repayment rates are very high for two main reasons. Firstly, borrowers know that they will not be able to borrow again if they don't repay the first loan. Secondly, they have to join a group of other borrowers in the same area who all share some responsibility for the loans of all the other members of their group. The members of a group are encouraged to make group decisions. So there is a lot of peer pressure and support from the group to encourage members to pay back their loans.
The Grameen Bank is regarded as very active socially. Is that true?
Indeed. Another important difference to conventional banks is that the Grameen Bank has a social programme. The system encourages the borrowers to do practical things to improve their living conditions, health and level of education. These are known as the 16 decisions, which include, for example, not continuing the dairy system, growing fresh vegetables, organising clean drinking water and good sanitation, education for children, and being ready to help each other whenever necessary. Most conventional banks would not normally consider these things to be any of their business, or certainly not central to their business.
Eunice's idea has caught on, hasn't it?
It certainly has. In Bangladesh itself, the Grameen Bank now lends over $1 billion to more than 2 million borrowers, 96% of them women, and involving more than half of the villages in Bangladesh. The repayment rate is 99%. The rural economy of the country has improved greatly since the bank started. But Eunice's idea has spread beyond Bangladesh's borders. This year, it was estimated that there are now over 7,000 microcredit organisations in the world, lending to over 16 million of the poorest people.
And Western banks and even governments have been impressed.
Yes. Grameen's success in Bangladesh has also shown that the developing world has lessons to teach richer countries like the USA and Britain. Both countries have begun to encourage microcredit schemes based on the Grameen model in an attempt to deal with poverty in their countries.
Linda, thank you. I don't think anyone would argue with your choice of Eunice as a modern business legend. And we look forward to who you have for us next week.
This is the end of task two. You now have 2 minutes to check your answers. This is the end of the listening comprehension test. Stop writing and hand in your papers.